There you are. So, in case you haven't figured it out yet, we're not doing series right now. We're waiting for August to kind of be over with and the kids to be back to school and people to kind of settle out and come home from vacation and all that good stuff. We're going to do some individual messages, and today I want to talk about the devil. Yeah, I want to talk about the devil. Yeah, some of you are like, oh. Everybody's interested in the devil. Even people that aren't necessarily Christians are interested in the devil. Really interesting. So what do you even say about the devil? So the devil. Oh, okay. I find that most people fall into two camps when it comes to talking about the devil. Okay? There are people that think a lot about the devil. Okay? And they kind of they lean toward blaming the devil for pretty much everything that seems to challenge them in life. You know, if you got a head cold, the devil's coming against me. If you got lost your job or you got laid off, it must have been the devil. If you got sick at home in bed, the devil did it. You know, if you did bad on a test, well, the devil's probably somehow responsible for that. And not to say that everybody that is looking for the devil believes, you know, quite that intensely that the devil's responsible for everything. But I do find there are a lot of people that talk about the devil a lot, and they seem to believe that pretty much everything that is up against them, that challenges their life in some way, is probably somewhere got the devil at the root cause of it. You know, the CV joint in your car fails after 286,000 miles. Maybe the devil was responsible for that. Maybe it was just that it's way beyond its lifespan. But anyway, a lot of people fall into that category. Devil, devil, devil. If there's something happening, they're ready to give the devil a lot of credit for it. Now, on the other side of that, there are a lot of people who do not give the devil a second thought. Sometimes we're just kind of trained and geared up inside to just look for more of a practical cause for when things go bad. You know, if somebody's really, really sad and depressed and thinking bad thoughts, you know, it's probably all just a physical thing. It's a chemical thing. Or you know, if something happened and somebody turned into a really bad person, well, you know, we look back at their childhood and there are certain, you know, causes that result in this effect, and we can just kind of trace it back and be kind of sciencey about it. And there's always, you know, if you look hard enough and long enough, there's a reason and you can understand it. You just have to be patient. Some of us have been trained to be like that over time, and I'm not against anybody, I'm not criticizing anybody, but some of us are, you know, a little bit more sophisticated like that. Sometimes people are just practical. Sometimes people just don't get that far into theology. You know, we hear about Jesus, we understand we're kind of a mess, we need Jesus, and we start on that path of learning what he wants for our life. But, you know, we figure, well, if we're doing a lot of the right things and we're in the right places and we're trying our best, you know, that's probably where our focus needs to be. We don't spend a lot of time thinking about Diablos, Beelzebub, Satan. Isn't it funny? Aren't those words funny? Come on, you know. Diablos. I don't know. But here's the thing. Whether you spend much of any time thinking about the devil, or whether you spend a lot of time thinking about the devil, or maybe you just spend a little bit thinking about the devil, I want to spend a little bit of time just opening your mind just a little bit. Opening your mind just a little bit. No matter what side of the spectrum you are in about the devil, my hope today is that before we really get into this, that you would just no matter where you are, just crack your mind open just a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Just back the screws off, just loose enough so that if something I say today might be true and you've missed it or you've overlooked it, that if you wanted to, you could kind of slip it in there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying open your minds up so far that your brains fall out. You know, that was an old saying a friend of mine used to say, have an open mind, but don't have it so open your brains fall out. I don't want anybody's brains falling out today. But just back the screws up a little bit, just in case something I say today might ring true for you. All right? Now, that's my disclaimer. So, my question to you today is, do you believe that there is an actual devil? You don't have to answer it out loud. If you don't, don't feel comfortable doing that, whatever, that's fine. But my question for you to ask yourself, right where you're on your seat, is do you believe there is an actual devil, an actual entity, somebody out there that has some kind of ability to sabotage things, sabotage your life? Do you believe that? And if you do, what is his agenda really? What actually is he doing? Is he just making your car break down? Is he making people think bad thoughts about you? Is he making you sick? What is the devil actually doing? I think that's a fair question, because if there was actually a somebody out there that had it in for you, that wanted to sabotage your life, you would probably want to know exactly what it was that he was planning to do, right? You know, if you know that the devil is a burglar, you would probably put some locks on your house and put those little sticks under the window sashes and, you know, put the props against the door. If you thought the devil was some kind of a money thief through internet schemes or something, you know, you'd probably go back and check all your passwords and get better ones and refresh them and all that kind of stuff. You'd probably do something. So if you really thought that the devil was a real, actual thing, a person who's actively seeking your detriment, we'll say, then you would want to know what he was up to, right? Even if you don't even believe in him, you have to agree that if that was real, you'd want to know what he was up to. And so I hope that you'll open your mind just a little bit. What I want to do today is share with you what I think. I'm just going to be open and share what I think about the devil. Diabolos, Beelzebub, Satan. Mephistopheles. What do they call him? Mephistocles? Something like that? I don't know. But I'm going to share with you what I think. I think there is a devil. Like a real, an actual devil. An actual, a guy, not a guy, but a, you know, what we think of as a guy. There's a person. I think there is. And you might think this is kind of simple, but here's the thing. This is why I believe there's an actual devil. Because the Jesus that I believe in, the one that success, the only person I ever heard of that successfully predicted their own death and their resurrection and pulled it off, okay, I listen to a guy like that. I don't listen to just everybody, but if you predict your own death and your resurrection and you pull it off, I'm going to listen to you, okay? And if you do it in front of, you know, hundreds of people, and those hundreds of people all filter that into trusted historians of the day that we rely on still, and they all realize that, oh, these people actually saw Jesus resurrected, and they actually believed it, and a social movement was begun that defied all the odds for thousands of years, even though tons and tons of tyrants and dictators and everybody tried to stamp it out with murder and jail and threats and prison, and it just bloomed and blossomed and became huge, and it's got millions of people in today. I listen to that guy, okay? If you did all those things, I would listen to that guy. And this is what I believe about Jesus. So when I listen to Jesus, when Jesus talks about the devil, and he does talk about the devil, he talks about him as though he's real. He doesn't talk about him as though he's just a principle, you know, something, a type of lifestyle or behavior that we could live out if we chose to. He doesn't talk about him as a principle. He doesn't talk about him as a fairy tale or a metaphor. He actually talks about him like he's a real thing. And that makes me stop and think. And I'll show you one of the best examples I have, and it's from the Gospel of John. This is from John's Gospel, one of Jesus's oldest and most trusted disciples, John 8:44. Just a little bit of backstory. You won't quite get what we're going for until I explain it to you. Jesus is at the Jewish temple in the middle of the biggest religious festival of the year, the Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Lights, and he is in the middle of the city, and there's like everybody in the world is in the city. Probably like, you know, not everybody in the world, but everybody in the Jewish world, you know, talking about 250,000 people, 300,000 people, maybe more, maybe 500,000, some people think, all in this city, and Jesus has showed up, and he's got a reputation for doing miracles, and people have heard about him, and he's gained a lot of press, and he shows up, and he starts saying things like, look, I am the light of the world, God sent me, if you want to have an actual relationship with God, then I've been sent by God to make that possible for each and every one of you, here I am, come follow me, which is great. Right? Which is great. Here's the thing. Some people are down for that, and some people are not. And the some people are not are really, really upset. They're really, really upset. And this is why, because they're Jewish, and they have grown up with the understanding that they have, as an ancestor, this guy named Abraham. Some of you have heard about him. And they have come into being because Abraham was given a promise that God would raise up an actual nation for himself that would honor him and live the way that he had always meant people to live, and they would know what he liked and what he didn't like. And so these people have come out of that promise. Abraham was actually blessed with children, and the children had more children and more children and more children, and pretty soon there were, you know, millions of people involved, and here's this whole nation, and these people have been brought up with the understanding that they have the in with God. They've got the in, and they're just waiting for him to make good on the rest. They're waiting for people to realize that they are, in fact, God's chosen people, and there's supposed to be a ruler that comes in and really sets things straight and throws out the oppressors and all that kind of stuff. And so Jesus comes along and says, look, if you want to have a relationship with God, you're going to need to come through me. And they're like, what? We don't need you. We don't need you. In fact, they're so sure they don't need him, they hate him for even thinking that or being willing to say it out loud in public, and their hearts are very much set against him. And so they have this little bit of a back and forth. And the reason I'm telling you this is because in this back and forth, Jesus talks about the devil, okay? Now, as I'm reading this, I just want to say out here, if you're trying to make friends, do not do what Jesus is doing right here. Okay? All right, just hold that in your hat. This is what Jesus says to them in the middle of this back and forth. He says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. See, they just told him, no. We have Abraham as our father. He was our source. This is our origin, Abraham, this great giant in the faith. And Jesus says, no, you are of your father, the devil. Your father is the devil. You may have a physical lineage that can be traced back to Abraham, but here's the thing. The desires of your heart show me that what you have come from is actually the heart of what the devil is all about. The origin, the source for who you are and the way you are right now is not Abraham, this faith-filled guy from thousands of years back. It's actually the devil. You don't make friends like that, I'm just saying. Hey, Bob, you are of the devil. No, that's not true. I don't mean that. But that's what he says. That's the father of these people is the devil. Wow. And this is where it gets good. He says, this is what he says about the devil. He said, he was a murderer from the beginning. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. He was a murderer. His identity is built around someone who takes life. That's the devil's identity. He is a life taker. He takes life from people that have it, that should have it, that ought to be having it, and he takes it. And he says, he does not stand on the truth because there's no truth in him. Apparently, he can't even tell the truth if he wants to. He's all the opposite of truth. Everything in him is the opposite of what's real and true. He says, whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, out of his very nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Interesting. So he's a murderer, he's a life taker, but he doesn't just run around with a sword or a knife or an axe or maybe cause car accidents. But what he does do, his primary weapon, is the lie. The lie. He says he is a liar. That's another word you can use for Satan's identity. He is a liar. And not just is he a liar, not just does he have trouble telling the truth. He says he is the father of lies. That's a powerful statement. He is the father of lies. He is the source of all of the wrong ideas. He is the source of all of the wrong beliefs that have come into existence since people have begun to believe the wrong thing. He is the very source. He's the origin of all lies. Not just a liar, the source of all lies. You can trace them back to him. You may have somebody that's speaking half-truths or errors to you in passing, and yes, that's a person, but he says that the source of that lie, at the source of that wrong thinking, is someone at work. And he has made this, he has begun this process. And it's just passing, it's filtering its way through humanity. And he is the source of all of it. Sounds very intentional. Taker of life, and he uses lies. Now, why would he use lies? I mean, aren't there better ways to take life from people? Maybe not. Maybe not. What is a lie? Let's think about that for a second. What is a lie, really? I'll give you my definition. A lie leads you to focus on something that isn't real so that something real can be taken from you. Doesn't every lie accomplish that? Somebody lies to you about how trustworthy they are. They're trying to get your trust. They haven't earned it, but they want it from you so that they can do what? Get away with something. Have more of something that maybe they shouldn't have. You know, if a politician tells a lie, why is he telling a lie? Because he wants something that you have, your vote, so that he can have power that he would not be able to have unless he got you to believe something that wasn't quite accurate about him. You know, if somebody lies to a partner or a spouse in a relationship, why do they lie? Because they want to be able to have trust and experience the love from you that they might not have unless they led you to believe that they were worthy of that love in some way. That's what lies are all about. Here's another way you can say it. A lie keeps your attention in one place so you can be robbed in another. Anybody ever have that experience? You ever hear about those crazy schemes where people take advantage of senior citizens and they tell them your so-and-so is sick and in the hospital and they need your routing number and all this stuff so that we can, you know, take care of them, and they're in really, really bad shape and they need to get, you know, blah, 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 and pretty soon, you know, somebody loses $250,000 in retirement savings because somebody lied. A lie is very powerful. Some of the most powerful, sharp, smart people have had everything taken from them because of lies. Ever heard of a Ponzi scheme? Remember back a few years ago when I can't even remember what his name was, but he... Yeah, Madoff, that's right. Madoff put together this grand scheme, this big fund, and he got all these people to invest a ton of money, and of course he wasn't doing what he said he was going to do with the money. He's actually doing other things with the money. That's never good. And so he basically robbed all of these very sharp, very clever, very, very wily businessmen. I'm telling you what, you don't get to be super, super rich by being not too sharp. Okay? You may not like rich people very much. Okay? Sometimes people don't like rich people very much. But these are generally very put together, you know, they're sharp people. You don't get rich by being a little off the cuff or too casual with things. You take a close look at your finances and keep an eye on the bottom line all the time. And this guy uses lies. And he takes everything. Lies are powerful. Lies are powerful. A lie leads you to focus on something that isn't real so something real can be taken from you. And that is the devil's game, says Jesus. That's his end game. At the end of the day, that's what he's about. That's what he's always been about, and that's what Jesus says he still is about. He's a liar, and he uses lies. His goal is to get you to believe the wrong thing so that he can take your life. Now, is he just going to kill you? Is that the idea? Because there's a lot of us, you know, a lot of us are still alive, so he must not be doing a very good job, right? But here's the thing. If you look at what Jesus is saying to these people and why he's saying it to these people, if you look back in the story a little bit, he's telling these people, look, you guys are deceived. You guys are deceived. You are so deceived. You believe so much in the wrong thing and so much wrong about what you think God wants and so much wrong about what good really looks like that you are willing to look me in the face. Here I am, the very definition of what God would look like if God was on the earth. Here I am. You look at me and you think I'm evil. That's how deceived you are. And and so they're very mad. They're very, very mad. And they're spreading the stuff further. I mean, when they understand something wrong, they look to the guy next to them and say, you know what, this guy is the devil. And don't you think he's the devil? And isn't he wrong to say, how can he say things like that? Isn't that blasphemous? Isn't that evil? Shouldn't this guy be, you know, put to death? Shouldn't this guy be put out of the city? Why are people following this? They just spread it. They just spread it everywhere. They paint the world with it. And that's the devil's plan. To get you to believe what isn't true, so that what you have can be taken. But not just what you have here, but like the Pharisees and like the Jews that were so upset, he doesn't just want your life and he doesn't just want your stuff. He doesn't want you to just be unhappy. He wants to rob you of the one most precious thing that can give you life now and in the hereafter, and that's your trust in Jesus Christ. If he can rob you of your faith, he's got everything. If he can rob you of your belief, of your trust in the Lord, and your obedience to God, he can take everything that you have that's worth having. Oh, you may keep enough money to go out for a good time at restaurants, and you may still have your house, and you may still have your apartment, or you may still have your dog, and you may still have your membership at some place that you like to go to. But if he can get your faith, see, he doesn't need any of that other stuff. That's just, that's nothing to him. But if he can get your faith, if he can take your obedience, if he can take that, he's got everything. He doesn't need any more. And his end game is to do exactly with you and exactly with me what he did with the Pharisees and with the Jews and the people that were so upset that this man would dare tell them that they needed further help in their relationship with God. They needed some kind of forgiveness. How dare this man say these ridiculous things against the Lord? If he can do that with them, he can do it with you and he can do it with me. He can lie. And he's very good at it. That's what I noticed. And this is kind of an unusual message. But what I want to do this morning is share with you something that I read. A long time ago, there was a guy named Thomas Brooks. Probably never even heard of him. It's like 300 years ago, okay? I read one of his books. I didn't read everything because it's a 300-year-old book, and trust me,